You're listening to Ontario Today on CBC Radio 1. I'm Rita Chelli. Well, if you're a parent, you have likely heard yourself say things like, pick up after yourself, don't lie to me, why am I the only one who ever bothers to bring in the garbage pail, or the recent favorite, why am I the only one who thinks to put a new bag in the garbage pail? Parents often feel like they don't have any influence on their children, and Sarah Dimmerman would dispute that. She has written a book called Character is the Key, How to Unlock the Best of Our Children and Ourselves. And in it, she lays out a strategy for teaching your child things like integrity and responsibility. And she starts by turning that mirror on you, the parent. So here's the working question for this half hour. Can you see your own bad habits in your children? What kind of role model do you think you are? 1-888-817-8995. 1-888-817-8995. Sarah Dimmerman is a psychologist and a parent educator. Good afternoon.
Hello, Rita.
Well, the more I stayed with this book, I have to tell you, the more I felt, oh, this is so much about the parents.
Well, yeah, I mean, this book was written, unlike other parenting books that are written about how to change children's behavior only or exclusively, this book is really meant for you as parents. But obviously, in turn, it helps you, it helps your family, it helps your children ultimately. But absolutely, this is definitely written for parents and with parents in mind.
So let me go through this with you. I mean, you see parents a lot. Right. Do parents really see themselves in their children? Or how do they see themselves?
Well, you know, we talk about courage as being one of the attributes to having good character. And I think it takes a lot of courage to be able to look in the mirror and think about those attributes that are being reflected back that you may also see in your children. And not to say that every time your child acts in a way that you wouldn't like, that you are responsible for that. Because as parents, as you said, we are the most powerful influence in our children, but we're, of course, not the only influence. Mm-hmm. So,
I also wondered about this idea that, you know, that sometimes, you know, most of us, I think, would like to identify with all the tremendous qualities we see in a child and the less desirable ones that we would, you know, offline to some other source. Do you see that with parents?
Yeah, I mean, and as you said, you know, how often are parents able to? I think when parents come to speak to me, typically I have to be honest by saying that typically parents will come with their children's problem behavior and say, fix him. And sometimes it truly is the child's issue, but sometimes it just takes a little bit more effort on my part in a very kind of gentle, nudging way for them to be able to see those less desirable qualities. And, you know, parents, sure, I mean, we like to take credit, and especially where credit is due, but it is more difficult to be able to look at those difficult behaviors or challenging behaviors and think, how do I sometimes act that way too?
Well, no, of course, right? Because sometimes we do things self-consciously, maybe. We're not perfect. Yeah. I want to ask you this because part of me wanted them to hyperventilate into a paper bag because I'm like, oh gosh, well, that's the sense of failure, everything that goes wrong is my fault.
You know,
so
and
how do you strike a balance?
Well, I'm sorry to hear that because obviously this is not meant to be a blame fest. This is really made. I hope that I've written it in a gentle way to be able
you
to.
You did, by the way.
Okay,
I'm
good.
I'm talking about my own reaction, my
good.
Internal dialogue.
Well, you know, my first book was "Am I a Normal Parent?" And I think normal in all normal parents, we feel a tremendous amount of guilt. Really, the book is meant to help to raise parents' consciousness and raise their awareness that they are always, whether they're knowing it unconsciously or consciously, parents are always modeling, always in everything we do, every single day, from the minute we open our eyes to stumble downstairs to fix breakfast and make school lunch, we are modeling every single thing, and children are watching every single thing that we do and say. And I really stress in the book, and I think this comes out loudly, is that we need to not just show our children, but we need to share with our children what we're doing. Because sometimes a million thoughts are going through our head. We're just letting somebody in because they're trying to get into our lane as we're driving. We let them in. We feel kind of good because they've waved their hand as, you know, a form of thanks. But we're not, our children's sitting in the back, maybe playing with their DS, and we haven't given them the opportunity to then to share what we've done effectively. So we haven't said, oh, I'm going to let that person in right now because he's waiting and a whole lot of people behind him are going to be backed up. And then he comes in and he shows his hand to say thank you. And then we say to our children, isn't that nice that he said thank you? I feel so appreciated now.
Yeah.
So And as
whereas
I said,
they might remember the moment you might be grumbling about someone on the road, right?
Yeah. No, that too. I mean, that in of itself is modeling too, because sometimes, I mean, let's face it, we live in big, those of us who live in big cities have to struggle with traffic all the time. It's very easy to say very demeaning, derogatory things. But, you know, so those are the things that kids will pick up on too. But they really do pick up on the good as well.
Our guest is psychologist Sarah Dimmerman. Her latest book is called Character is the Key, How to Unlock the Best in Our Children and Ourselves. We actually have a couple of copies to give away at the end of the broadcast, and we're inviting you to join a conversation. If you can, look in the mirror. Can you see your own bad habits in your children? Tell us just how you're feeling. I mean, if you feel like you have any influence or control over, you know, what's going on in your household these days, I'm sure our guest would be happy to kind of walk through some things with you. 1-888-817-8995. That number again, it's toll free. Anywhere you're listening to in Ontario today, 1-888-817-8995. So I'm going to go back to you, Sarah Dimmerman. Let's start with your strategy. Tell us a little more about how parents can teach children things like integrity and responsibility in a way that sticks.
Well, you know, my book is very, very, very strategic. So what I've identified, the reason that the book came about was because many schools across Canada and it started in the U.S., but now in Canada are offering character matters programs where every month they're focusing on a different character trait. And so I really wanted to give parents the opportunity to know more about what those traits meant and how they could affect their children by modeling those traits, and also to give them ideas about how to model those traits other than the very typical ones. So that's how the book came about. And so the plan, the family plan, as I call it, is, you know, quite systematic and so very easy to follow. So I start off by asking a parent if he or she is a single parent, or parents if they're parenting, you know, as a two-parent family, to sit together and identify what their core values and beliefs are, because often as parents, it's not something that we think about. So to determine which of the 10 character traits that I've outlined in the book are the character traits that he or she feels are most important. And then I've offered worksheets that parents can actually download off of a website that they can complete on their own and then with their children. And then, do you want me to continue, or did you?
Well,
have
I'm
a
just
question?
Wondering, like, what's the value then at the end of that whole process?
Well, once they've determined what their core value and belief is, they can also see if they're on the same page with one another. So they can say, okay, I believe that, because part of that exercise, by the way, is to rank in level of importance what they think their family needs to work on most. So they may identify that, in fact, they're all pretty good around honesty, that they tell the truth most of the time, but that they feel that their children, and maybe themselves by looking in the mirror, are maybe lacking in responsibility in certain areas. So, but by doing it separately, the mom might acknowledge that responsibility might be number one on her list and empathy might be least, and the dad may say something different. So it's an opportunity to come together as a couple and to dialogue about
what do you do if you disagree?
If you disagree, you dialogue some more.
Keep talking,
so
you mean?
You speak to a therapist if you have to.
All right.
But seriously, I mean, you don't have to be 100% on the same page, but you dialogue about what's most important. And then ultimately, as you wade through the book, you get to the part where you get to come together as a family and have family meetings, so that you're actually identifying a character trait each month. You're, as a parent, reading ahead of time to see what that character trait means. And then you're actually following through on specific exercises in the book that you can all play together as a family, kind of fun exercises that have kind of the underlying message related to the attribute that you're trying to talk more about.
I want to start going to your phone so our listeners can have some chance to dialogue with you.
Sure,
our guest,
absolutely.
Sarah Dimmerman. Carlo is joining us in Toronto. Hi, Carlo.
Hi, how are you?
Hi, so do you have kids?
Yes, I have two boys. I'm a single dad.
Yeah, how old are these boys?
I have a 10-year-old and a 5-year-old.
Okay, and do you see yourself, even the bad habits in these boys?
Yeah, I do, actually. I think one of the two traits that I have is the communication trait and probably the patience. With communication, I see that.
You mean you don't talk a lot? Or the?
Well, in the communication between, I'm a single dad, so dealing with their mother,
mm-hmm.
that's one of the challenges. So I guess it's maybe not as good as it could be, so I think that reflects on the kids.
Mm-hmm. In what way? Do you have something to illustrate that made you start thinking about it?
Well, no, I think generally speaking, when the mother drops off the kids, There really is no communication, right? So I guess there's a gap. The kids can see that,
mm-hmm.
and they can feel the tension. So So I think that kind of it kind of gets drawn down to them as well, I feel.
Mm-hmm. Would you like to change it in some way?
Well, I think for my kids, right?
Yeah.
I think it'd be good for the kids. And that's one trait. The other one is, I guess, patience. I guess, again, being a single parent, everything's always rush, rush, rush. Mm-hmm. So it's not necessarily, like, you don't really take the time to kind of, because you're actually doing with the kids and you realize that you're pushing, pushing, pushing. But at the end of the day, they're taking on those traits as well. I see that in their schoolwork. I see that in their, you know, dealing with other kids. And I get that feedback from the school, from the teachers.
Well, you're being really honest, Carlo. I'm so glad you called. I want Sarah Dimmerman to have a chance just to address some of the things that you've said, okay?
Thank you.
Well, Carlo, is it Carlo?
Yes.
Okay, hi. You know, there's a whole chapter in the book written just for you, because it talks about, it's actually titled, I don't know the exact title right now, but it's something like, you know, handling conflict with your partner, you know, even if your partner is an ex-partner, because I talk a lot about how when you're apart or when you're separated or divorced, often more times than not, couples are in kind of conflict with one another. And so it's so important, as you know, to try as a parent to model the kind of behavior that you want your children to have. And there's so much opportunity to not. So I'm thinking of things like respect, you know, even if spouses are not very happy with one another because lots of stuff has gone on between them, still being able to talk to one another respectfully and to talk about one another respectfully, especially in front of the kids, but even when the kids are not there, as a form of practice, if you will, is so great. The other traits that you will be modeling, you know, is empathy. So even if you don't like something that your ex-partner wants to do, just by acknowledging that everybody sees things in different ways, you're modeling empathy. So much more tricky when you're apart, but even that much more crucial.
Mm-hmm. We had a guest recently give this suggestion to parents in Carlo's case. Sometimes if they can't speak to each other, write a little book that goes back and forth between the children so that it's a way to communicate, but it tamps down some of the anxiety. I found this chapter, just so you know, that you're referring to in your book. You also have a beautiful quotation there. The greatest gift a father can give his children is to love and respect their mother.
Thank you, Rita, for reading that. It's true. And Carlo,
it's hard once you're split up, right?
It is. It's that much more challenging, but so critical, and so many wonderful opportunities to be able to model how you handle conflict with somebody.
Okay. I want to take some other callers, otherwise we'll run out of time. But Carlo, thank you, and good luck to you. I hope this helps you a little bit. Chantel, where are you calling us from?
I'm calling from Rockland in Ontario.
Okay. And, well, we started with this question. Can you see your own bad habits in your children?
Oh, definitely. I have one 14-year-old daughter.
Mm-hmm.
She's a gifted child in an enriched program. And, of course, she's a blessing. And both of them, my husband and I were in enriched programs. But with that, she knows all the tricks, it seems. And so I can see my sneakiness, and I can see the white lies, and I can see just pushing. And she's quite inventive about it, being smart. So it's extremely difficult because I don't have the patience for it. I thought I was a patient person, but I'm not finding it in me.
So it's interesting that you use sneaky, not clever, you know? I mean, mm-hmm. You know, is it a question of how to interpret the behavior or how to label it, Chantel?
Well, what it is, for example, you know, kids are into the hair straighteners.
Mm-hmm.
So having left one on for a full day a couple of days ago and almost burning down the bathroom, I took it away. She didn't make that much of a fuss. I should have known. Well, anyways, the next day, I come in her bathroom and her hair is all straight, but I'm holding the straightener. She had found the old one in my cupboard.
Mm-hmm.
You see? So it's just the idea that she's pushing every button to try to seek independence, but I find it so hard, you know?
Okay, mm-hmm. Sarah Dimmerman, go ahead.
Well, you know, it sounds like there's a whole lot of power and control stuff going on at home, you know? And I think an only child who's gifted can be that much more challenging because, of course, your focus is going to be on her. She knows it. She may or not always want the focus on her. And then, as well, as you said, you're seeing parts of yourself in her, which you may want to work on even. And I love what Rita said, though, about the reframe, because even in the book, I talk about how as parents we may sometimes identify children's behavior as something negative, but actually the positive reframe may be something that we can look at as well, the label that we put on it. So as you've mentioned, she's very, very bright. Bright children are usually, you know, a few steps ahead of us and make our lives as parents that much more challenging. But in terms of you know, she obviously is having a difficult time with you, with the way that you took that away. She feels maybe it's not fair. However, as you said, you know, you actually did the right thing by removing the straightener because you wanted to show her that if you're not going to be responsible with the straightener, then you're not going to be able to have it. But sometimes it's the way that we do it. So, you know, sometimes when we just as a parent come in as an authority figure, which we are, but we have to be cautious about how we present ourselves. If we come in and just say, that's it, I'm taking it away, you're not responsible, as opposed to sitting with our child and saying, you know, what do you think the consequences could have been, you know, if we could have had a fire in the house, as you said, and what do you think we should do to be more responsible next time? So again, using that as a learning opportunity, as opposed to automatically going into that kind of authoritarian mode.
Chantal, are the wheels turning in your head there?
The wheels are turning. I had been dealing with this issue for 2-3 months. We're off and on, and, you know, there had been, like, the rubber around this thing would burn or something. Mm-hmm. But it's becoming, she's very distracted, it seems, with a new school, new grade, new friends.
Yeah.
And going in grade 9 and not allowing a lot of concentration on her immediate tasks.
Okay, Chantal, you two have given us a very honest picture of, you know, a day-to-day kind of challenge in a household. Thanks for your call. We're going to go next to North York, and Mohammed is on the line with us. Hi, Mohammed.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing fine. So, do you have kids?
Yes, I have a 2.5-year-old. He's a very loving child, very lovely and everything.
Uh-huh.
But the thing, he's spoiled because most of the time you leave him with his grandma, his mom and I, you both go to work.
Mm-hmm.
When by the time you come home, he looks at us and says, I want to hit you. It's kind of because he misses us, but at the same time, I feel that the grandma spoils him and let him actually do the hitting. It's challenging because we tell him, don't hit. He kind of understands, but he comes back to it again. I give him time out, but he comes back to it again.
Uh-huh. He's small. He's still young, eh?
He's still young, but he's very smart. He knows what he's doing. Yet he comes back and says, I'm sorry, but he looks at me in the eyes and says, I'll hit you. Like in a joke way, but it's really, you know, tough.
Sarah Dimmerman?
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'm hearing you saying, Mohammed, is that you feel that, is it your mom, did you say? Okay, so what I'm hearing is that you feel that maybe your parents or your mom are not setting the kind of boundaries that you would like to set?
Yes.
So is that what I'm hearing by when you say spoiled, that they're allowing him to do things that you typically wouldn't do at home or wouldn't allow at home?
Exactly.
Okay, so, you know, and unfortunately that happens so often with grandparents because grandparents, you know, are just dealing with the here and now and might not be looking to the long-term parenting kind of thing. So it's a really tricky situation, but depending on your relationship with them and how open they are to hearing your concerns, you might sit down with them and talk about, you know, your approach to what you do when he hits and ask them if they could follow suit. But to pick up on what Rita said too, I think because he is so young, even though he is so clever, often when children hit, as you said, it may be more of a form of, also as you said, anger because maybe you've been away from him all day and he's frustrated that he hasn't seen you as much, or he might just actually be very tired and cranky, because sometimes sometimes kids hit when they're hungry or tired. So acknowledging that, maybe sometimes what happens is we put kids into timeout too often, it loses its impact. But beyond that also, I think when he feels that you're asserting your authority or you're just telling him, don't hit, it may not be working. What I would recommend instead is that when he hits, that you take him in your arms and you give him a really tight hug and you say, hitting really hurts, let's touch each other this way instead and say, are you tired? It's so wonderful to be home with you again. But if you put him into timeout too often, unfortunately, sometimes the behavior just escalates and gets worse. And one other thing I just wanted to say is if he is not as verbal as some other kids might be, then sometimes kids communicate by hitting or touch as well.
Okay, Mohammed, thank you for your call. I hope that helps give some guidance. We're going next to Linda in Aurora. Hi, Linda.
Hello, how are you today?
Not bad. Do you have kids?
I do. I have a handful of kids.
How old are they?
14, 12, 10, and 2 9-year-olds.
Wow. Okay, that is a handful. So
it is. It literally is.
In that working question, can you see your bad habits in the children?
I do, but I blame them on my husband. Like all good wives, it's your fault that they talk that way. It tends to be too, like the disrespect that we show each other.
Yeah. You mean you and your spouse?
Yeah. Well, when the kids talk back to us, if you look at the way sometimes we speak to each other, my mm-hmm. husband and I, mm-hmm. I mean, it's the same way.
So when did you make that realization?
You know what? On one of those TV talk shows, the host said when he was looking at people that he didn't like, he asked himself, what is it about that person that I don't like about myself? Mm-hmm. And it just kind of started me thinking, and I... You know, when the kids talk back, where is that coming from? It really bothers me. And so I just kind of took the steps. Eventually, it took a long time to get there.
Oh, you're being so honest. The idea that it's true, like when they're doing something bad, it's because of you. You're pointing to the person in the room, right? And the kind of tone that sets. Sarah Dimmerman?
Yeah, thank you again for being so honest, Linda, because you started off by saying that you blame him, kind of tongue-in-cheek, and I think we all want to do that. But then you also used a we in the next sentence. So you said the way that we talk to one another. So I do hear that you are taking some responsibility for this as well, and you're acknowledging that as a couple, you may not always be talking to each other with the kind of respect that you'd like to see your children talk to you or to each other with. And of course, you know, none of us is perfect, myself included, and we're not going to always talk to each other exactly the way that we wanted to. But the important thing is as a couple, I would have to ask, you know, how are you addressing it as a couple? How are you, are you both on the same page in terms of wanting to talk to each other more respectfully, not just for the sake of yourselves, but also for what you're modeling to your kids?
We both do. We do talk about it. And we do work on it, but it is a work in progress.
Yeah. And how open are you to having your kids share respectfully with you what they see?
I have asked them if mommy talks disrespectful to you to point it out, because sometimes I just don't notice.
Right, exactly.
And have they?
Occasionally.
Yeah.
Occasionally. Mostly the little ones. They're the best at pointing out my faults.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And getting it bang on.
And the most important thing, as I said, is to teach children how to be able to share what they're seeing in a respectful manner, because we can learn so much from what our kids see in us. So it's great that you're doing that.
Okay, Linda, thank you for looking in the mirror and telling us what you see. Stephen's on the line in Ottawa. Hi, Stephen.
Hi there. How are you?
Not bad. So,
I appreciate you taking my call. Thank you.
Go right ahead. So looking at the little ones in your life, or yeah. I don't know how young or old they are.
Well, I'm like Carlo. I'm a single dad with a 10-year-old girl and a 6-year-old boy.
Yeah.
And, of course, one thing that I've been listening for in all these conversations is the fact that being a parent is extremely difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And whether you have a partner or if you have a partner, it's difficult. If you're not, it's even more difficult.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, there are some things that my, like, you know, one big issue I have with my daughter is that she can't keep her room clean.
Mm-hmm.
And part of that is a reflection of me because I got to take care of the whole place and I'm not always very good at it. And so, you know, I'm wondering, you know, if I leave the dishes around for a while or if I get behind in my laundry, then my daughter starts to think, well, if daddy's not always keeping the place spick and span and perfectly clean, then why should I have to do that with my room? So I'm trying to, you know, get her to find a way somehow to get her to keep up with that. I don't know if it's a phase that girls go through or not, but it's something that's very contentious.
Boys and girls sometimes go through that. Sarah Dimmerman?
You know, you've brought up so many points. I'm thinking about everything that I wanted to say to you, Stephen. One of the things you mentioned is, you know, you said, if I don't keep the house perfectly clean and spick and span, will she learn from that? I think it's important to give yourself some room, too, and to recognize that I don't think any parent, single or otherwise, can keep a perfectly spick and span room or house.
Mm-hmm.
And so to look at, is that what you expect of yourself? And in turn, is that what you may expect of her? Or is it okay for you to say, you know, Dad is so tired tonight, I'm going to leave the dishes in the sink because I just don't have the energy to do them. I'm going to do them tomorrow. So in that way, you're acknowledging to her that you're not just slacking off, but there's reason for you leaving it. And in turn, she may in fact be too tired to tidy her room every single night. So
which
that's
is
one.
Fair enough.
Right. And then the other thing that I wanted to say, because I find it such an incredible, powerful tool, not specifically related to character, but what I found, because I have an 11-year-old and a 19-year-old, and of course, cleaning up the room is a huge issue for most parents. And I find that if I walk into my 11-year-old's room, for example, and I look around and her clothes are on the floor and she's got dirty dishes and stuff on her desk, and I say to her, look at this room, it's such a pigsty, why can't you, you know, hang up your clothes? She just like continues playing on her iPad or turns the other way and won't listen to me at all. The times that I've had the energy and really been intentional about it and come into her room and looked over at like the needle in the haystack at her desk, I've noticed a tiny pile of paper that she's perfectly stacked. And I say, wow, when did you stack those papers so neatly? I haven't seen that before. You did a great job. I leave the room and an hour later I come back and her whole room is spick and span. Mm-hmm. It's just such an amazing strategy. It's something that we may think is contrite and our kids will pick up on that and think it's not real, but try it with anything, whether it be cleaning a room or putting away something. You pick up on one little thing, even if you have to really search for that thing, mm-hmm. and you'll be amazed at the impact that it has.
That's really great. I know there's a lot of callers. There's one other little thing that I wanted to bring up with you, if I may.
Well, we're almost out of time, so we might be more of a comment than getting an answer.
Regarding the love and respect their mother comment that was quoted from your book.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I'm divorced and everything like that, and that's something with which I'm struggling with very much, and I don't know how to find a way to exhibit the kind of respect that the children need to see from me in regards to their mother, and that's something that... that I think is a very challenging thing to do when you're in a position like mine.
Can
I suggest, Rita, that if Stephen wants to, he can write to me at my website, and I'd be happy to respond to his concern through email.
Awesome. We will give that. It's called helpmesarah.com. So, Stephen, you can follow up. We're going to give Heidi in Toronto and Sharon in Kingston, stay on the line, a copy of this book. And Sarah Dimmerman, thank you so much for coming in.
Thank you, Rita.
Sarah Dimmerman is the author of Character is the Key, How to Unlock the Best of Our Children and Ourselves. You can listen to this again on our website at cbc.ca/Ontario Today. And again, Sarah Dimmerman, happy to hear from you at her website at www.helpmesarah.com. Tomorrow on the program, we have some terrific stories to tell you. On Remembrance Day, you'll get goosebumps listening to one 87-year-old veteran. Take care until then, and thanks for calling. Bye-bye.